Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
What's up? I'm Draymond Green, and when I'm not hosting the Draymond Green Show, I'm usually working out in the gym and on the court. Anybody can have one good day in the gym, but the key is recovery. That's why athletes are taking Omega XL Sport. Omega XL Sport is a premium recovery supplement powered by green-lipped muscle oil extract with three key clean ingredients and backed by over four decades of research. It's NSF certified for sport, which is such an amazing distinction. It's free of 290 banned substances trusted by athletes and recognized by major sports organizations. My body has taken a beating over the years, and recovery becomes more important the longer you stay active. That's why Omega XL Sport caught my attention. Omega XL Sport helps support your body's natural recovery process, helping reduce post-workout muscle soreness, inflammation, and supports mobility so you can stay consistent when it matters most. Less time feeling beat up, more time doing what you love. Omega XL Sport. Extra strength recovery now available at GNC and GNC.com.
When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? Maintain X is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With Maintain X, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try Maintain X for free today. Go to maintainx.com/AI. That's maintain and the letter x.com/AI.
Here we go. Hour 2, G-Bag Nation, 105.3 The Fan. Let's talk about some Rangers because they are 1.5 games ahead of Seattle. They are sitting here in first place and finished that first half of the season with some pretty good momentum. What are the five things we learned about your Rangers in their unlikely ascent to first place at the All-Star break? This is Sean McFarland in the morning news. We're sitting at half over there at the stadium, and Spain leads France 1-0. Would be a slight upset. I think Spain went off at like plus 125, and Spain and France was like minus 150. Wooly Bully is up there at COSM enjoying it, and he'll be on his way to join us here on the show when it goes final.
Yeah, In just the 45 minutes we did see of the soccer action, it looked like Spain more quality than France. And France is a team that is offensively can be just so explosive with the passing, the ability for how they're able to stretch the field and be able to get guys going upfield. And Spain did a really nice job of not letting them get anything really going. And on the offensive attack, Spain just better in the France end than what we saw with the opposite way.
And I've been disappointed and at times critical of Lamine Yamal, the teenage sensation for Spain.
He drew the penalty.
He's been fantastic. Drew the penalty.
Yeah.
He's been dangerous. I think he's locked in, you know.
Yeah.
And that could spell trouble for France here as they need a goal to equalize in the next 45 minutes or they will be done for, and we'll miss the final for the first time in 12 years.
Yeah.
Number one, the bounce back candidates have bounced back, and this is something that I think we had our fingers crossed for in spring training, but none of us really believed it, did we? You're talking Berger, Young, and Peterson.
Yeah, Jock. I think we were all ready to give up on Jock. For sure.
Yeah.
And most of us for Young as well. I think there was some Berger excitement having Schumacher back. Berger talking about some of the adjustments that he made with his swing. getting the Pilates body going a little bit. You felt like that's a guy who the power would come back for him. But for Young and for Peterson, I think those two are huge surprises.
Yeah, Young just looked kind of like he was a flash in the pan, maybe in the World Series year, but couldn't get healthy enough to be dependable. Yeah. Peterson, we were like, well, he got old and washed up and isn't going to work hard enough to find his way back in his mid-30s to being a dangerous batter. He's making me eat crow on both of those beliefs. But yeah, Berger, because he's young and still wants it and only had the one poor season. Before that, the two previous seasons, he'd combined to hit like 65 home runs. So I was willing to be optimistic about a Berger, but salute to, I think, CY for showing faith in his guy, and salute to the players.
I remember when we interviewed CY, we were out there at the ballpark, and I apologized to him because this is a joke. You know, this whole thing with Berger, we talked about that. Remember, I said, hey, first off, just want to say, apology for my thoughts about Berger and stuff. And he's like, well, he's capable player. He was nice about it, but I think the whole thing with him, with Peterson leading off and all, I thought, what a joke that was. But man, I mean, there are some moves that they have made that has just come up great.
Peterson sitting on 15 home runs now. And had 9 a year ago.
That's crazy.
And
they've kind of figured out though that even though he's showing how he can hit, they put Foscue in there now as a pitch hitter, and Foscue hasn't kind of let you down doing that.
Yeah.
So he's
mashing lefties.
So that's what I'm saying.
Dominant way.
Yeah. So you're kind of like wow, you got Peterson doing a great job, and then all of a sudden it's like, no, don't take him out. And Foscue gets in there. All of a sudden, Foscue leads a team like him and Duran in home runs during the month of June, and so it's crazy to think that they're having so much contribution from guys. I personally felt like, why is this guy?
Does Berger already have the same amount of home runs this year that he had all of last year?
Tied with the amount he hit a year ago. Has 16 of them. 812 OPS with runners in scoring positions, the fourth best of any AL player who's made at least 100 plate appearances in those situations, which isn't a lot of plate appearances at this point in the season. Jock 797 OPS overall, sixth best among American League DHs who've made at least 200 plate appearances.
Wow.
And I think, Brian, to the point that you just made is we were kind of looking at these guys like you just are keeping your fingers crossed because they don't have the resources or desire to go find replacements.
They don't. They don't. They're just they really did believe that their guys were going to come through. Mm-hmm. I mean, CY is always like, right now we're not playing well. I got faith in these guys. And he kept preaching that. And I kept going, and this is not, no.
You felt bad for him because it seemed like horrible luck had just intervened to make their World Series roster a train wreck. But at least this portion of it is saying we're not done yet.
I will say this, though. With Semien, the trade to get Nemo, to get him, I think that was just – he's played huge dividends. But I also think finding Nicky Lopez to play second base,
oh my gosh,
has been like, if you want to talk about a guy that really didn't get a whole lot of chances, you kind of get him up off the scrap heap, nobody really wanted him. Bassick talks about, and Bassick's right about this. This guy, and Jared's done it too, this guy's just a baseball player, man.
Yeah.
There's so many things he does on a daily basis that just helps you play winning baseball, whether it's in the field, running bases, getting base hits, taking a walk, turning a double play. I thought, how are they going to replace? Is it going to be Smith? Is Smith going to be the second baseman? Nah, man. It's this Nicky Lopez guy they got. He's been unreal.
Yeah, I'd crown him the championship glue guy right now if they go on and win the World Series, shock the world. Lopez is your Janko glue guy. Yeah.
There you go.
For this team.
Yeah.
100%. And the Elias Diaz signing as well.
Those
two right there.
I don't even
have been
think about Jansen
changers.
Anymore. I'm like,
no.
I'm like, okay, you know, when the catching situation, I'm not thinking about him at all. I'm like, I don't think I'm messing with my catching situation as is.
And other guys that we were counting out, like you mentioned, the Burgers and the Petersons and the Youngs and Ezekiel Duran. Like,
oh,
we're in surprise, not even thinking, is he even going to make the team?
And that's how you can continue to play winning baseball with Seager done for, you know? And,
maybe
he doesn't bounce back, but as long as these guys can do what they've done for the first 90 games, do it again.
I don't think we're going to see Seager. It's just one of those weird gut feelings on this one.
Well, and it just doesn't add up.
No.
You know, it's clear to me they were trying to manage that injury and keep him as available as he possibly could. And when you come back from 2 weeks from missing a concussion and your back is an issue again, then that means, you know, something more structural.
I think there's more structural stuff there myself.
Josh Young's .297 average, third best in the AL. He has more games with multiple hits than he does with no hits this season. He's just been a model of consistency, and without him, he's been the driving force here with his offense. Without him, I think the Rangers be half dozen games below .500 at this point. Great job by Sean McFarland in the morning news putting this together. The rotation has taken a meaningful step back, so you've also had to overcome that.
Yeah.
The 4.26 ERA ranks 15th league-wide, and per Fangraphs, their 7.8 WAR ranks 10th after being the best rotation in baseball last year. And what the problem is the trio of right-handed pitchers, Leiter a 5.29, Rocker 4.89, and then the lefty Mackenzie Gore at 4.63. They have the 3rd, 6th, and 8th highest earned run averages of all AL starters who've logged 50 innings or more. The 3rd, 6th, and 8th highest ERAs amongst AL starters who have logged 50 or more innings. That's tough. You know, nothing over 5, nothing over 6, but still those ERAs are you know, probably due for a correction. You could look at that and say, these guys are young and unproven and have had ups and downs. Or you could also look at it and say, man, their best baseball is probably ahead of them here in 2026 because their stuff is too good, you know, to be struggling to that extent. Their biggest trade so far has been a win, though. And you mentioned the Nimmo trade in passing there, Brian, a few moments ago. And Semien for Nimmo. Nimmo has outpaced Semien in WAR 1.8. to -0.6. Like, Semien's even worse.
Wow.
Than he was. The OPS numbers, the OPS plus, it's all, you know, in favor of that trade being an absolute home run. They're back underway at the stadium, Spain and France. Their roster does remain flawed in a major way. Bullpen being held together with inexperienced rookies. Actually, 5 rookies in the pen in the final couple of weeks before the break. And the 2 weeks before the break, their bullpen ERA hit 5.12 over about a 12-game span.
I think Martin.
Thanks, Chris Martin.
I think Martin being involved didn't help there.
Yeah, that didn't help. And, I think the good news is CY has shown the ability to microwave a bullpen and to keep coming up with answers. So I will have faith that as the trade deadline approaches here coming up in about 3 weeks or so, that if there's anything out there to be done, CY is going to, you know, be able to make that happen. I think you can compromise if Ray Davis, if ownership wants to not add payroll, doesn't feel like this is a team that deserves going forward in a major way because they aren't that good anymore. I think you could understand that from a front office perspective. Like, we can't do anything that sacrifices our medium to long term in favor of trying to win now. But you can find players that are available who are on the final year of their deals or under team control and not, you know, make significant financial commitments, you know, and still improve your team in a significant way. So looking forward to continuing to cover that and what our guy CY has in store. Of course, he joins us Mondays at 4:20 here on The Fan. All righty. How about a little football conversation? What if I asked you for the highest graded PFF individual seasons by position? across the NFL. Would that be fun? Like, who's had the greatest PFF quarterback season of all time? You know the answer to that?
I would guess Mahomes.
Could be Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, Lamar.
Lamar Jackson or Josh Allen, maybe.
I just go back to that 2018 Mahomes year that was just ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, there was some crazy.
When he could throw it deep and he had Kelce in his prime and Hill. Yeah.
Was PFF involved with, didn't Aaron Rodgers have a year where.
Oh, yeah, Rodgers.
Where Rodgers won the MVP and he threw like 40 touchdowns and no interceptions or something like that? One of
okay.
Those
Brian's all over it. He's got Aaron Rodgers. The 2020 campaign regarded as one of the best by a quarterback in league history. Tossed 49 big-time throws to only 15 turnover-worthy plays, ranking top three in both rate categories. His adjusted completion percentage the highest in the league in the PFF era, and it was a 95.1, the best. Not far behind were Lamar Jackson in 2024, Tom Brady in 2016, right. Two remarkable campaigns. Brady followed suit a year later with a 94.2. Peyton Manning and Drew Brees also reached 94 flat in 2007 and 2018, respectively. So you've had a handful of incredible seasons, but Aaron Rodgers at his peak there late in his Green Bay run. Do you think the torn Achilles just nuked him? Is that what ultimately did it? Or was he kind of done, finished before then?
No, I mean, that was really the final nail in the coffin for sure.
Yeah.
That zapped him of any ability to be mobile. And that was one of the big things that he had that a guy like Brady didn't have.
Running back, top PFF running back grade of all time. Who would you guess?
Do we know how far back this goes?
I'm not sure. I could, but I, at least until 2007.
Okay. So then I would say Adrian Peterson or Saquon Barkley, what he just did Derrick Henry.
I think
all over it.
I would have said Barkley is who I would have said, and maybe it happened 2 years ago.
His 2024 Derrick Henry season at 94.1 holds it, although Saquon Barkley neck and neck for much of that season. Henry eclipsed Barkley in missed tackles, 87-80, yards after contact, 3.6 to 3.3, and explosive run rate, 14.4 to 12.6. But Bijan Robinson has produced a 92.8 recently. Adrian Peterson hit a 92.4 in his MVP season in 2012. And just last year, Kenneth Walker's 91.4 with Seattle put him inside the top 10 running back seasons of all time there. Apparently not impressed or couldn't afford him because he's now with the Chiefs, right? Kenneth Walker?
Yeah, he is.
Zach Charbonnet and a Jadarian Price show. Wide receiver. The season actually just happened.
So Jackson Smith and Jigba kind of a thing?
Same division.
This would be...
Puka Nacua.
Puka Nacua, okay.
Although Nacua didn't win Offensive Player of the Year, he had just as good, if not of an argument, as Smith and Jigba. His 96.2 PFF receiving grade, powered by a monstrous 3.57 yards per route run.
Ooh.
The well-rounded Nacua incorporates almost every tool in his kit. Yeah, the 3.57 yards per route run, like good starts at 2 or 1.5, doesn't it?
Yeah, you're feeling good if you're in the 2s in terms of yards per route run. Well over 3. That has to be one of the best seasons ever for sure.
The last decade has featured a myriad of other incredible personal receiver seasons. Julio Jones, 93.5. Tyreek Hill, 93.4. That was in 2023 with Miami, actually. Cooper Kupp's 93 in 2021. Calvin Johnson maxed out at a 91.2 in 2011. Randy Moss and T.O. never surpassed 87 during their short stints in 2006 or later is the answer to that question. The PFF era apparently starts in 2006. Tight ends George Kittle put up a 94.4 in 2019. Trent Williams is the best tackle season of all time at 96.6. Guards Evan Mathis with the Eagles and Chris Lindstrom with the Falcons are tied at a 95, and the best center season in the PFF era belongs to Jason Kelce. Put up a 94.1 there in their first Super Bowl season. All righty, when we come back, it'll be time for the C-Note. We'll get you the Cowboys news of the evening. Keep an eye on this Spain-France contest, still 1-0 in the 56th minute with the Spaniards leading, and we're back with your Cowboys news here coming up in the Jeep.
What's up? I'm Draymond Green, and when I'm not hosting the Draymond Green Show, I'm usually working out in the gym and on the court. Anybody can have one good day in the gym, but the key is recovery. That's why athletes are taking Omega XL Sport. Omega XL Sport is a premium recovery supplement powered by green-lipped muscle oil extract with three key clean ingredients and backed by over four decades of research. It's NSF certified for sport, which is such an amazing distinction. It's free of 290 banned substances trusted by athletes and recognized by major sports organizations. My body has taken a beating over the years, and recovery becomes more important the longer you stay active. That's why Omega XL Sport caught my attention. Omega XL Sport helps support your body's natural recovery process, helping reduce post-workout muscle soreness, inflammation, and supports mobility so you can stay consistent when it matters most. Less time feeling beat up, more time doing what you love. Omega XL Sport. Extra strength recovery now available at GNC and GNC.com.
When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? MaintainX is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With MaintainX, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try MaintainX for free today. Go to MaintainX.com/AI. That's Maintain and the letter X.com/AI.
I'm Susie Welch, the host of Becoming You, a podcast where I help you stop living by default and start living by design. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.
Back Nation. Welcome back, Nation. Time for the C-Note. Spain has taken a 2-0 lead, as you heard. Pretty funny, right in the middle of Wolchuk's live spot there from Cosm. Spain scored. They just scored again, actually, but it was called back due to, you know, being like an inch offside. Segments brought to you by the Frankels. If you've been injured in a car truck wreck, call the Frankels first, 214 or 817-333-3333. There is never an out-of-pocket cost. They only get paid when you win. The Frankels, the go-to car and truck wreck attorneys in Dallas. It's hard to score on Spain. I think the run could be over for France.
I'll tell you what's interesting, Dawson, in this match is how and I think it's like a little bit like basketball. And correct me if I'm wrong, is it called setting your line? They got their line set really high, like into the French side. France is having a hard time getting connected passes out of their end. And it just appears that Spain is got their line really, they're not letting France get any kind of buildup down the field. They're keeping them pinned pretty solidly in their own end just by the way that they have their formation set up.
Yeah, and a lot of times, like at one of these water breaks or halftime, you can make an adjustment to your formation or your tactics and sort of come up with a solution. But France has not been able to do anything to alter the run of play in their favor. Tony Romo quoted from his appearance on the Pardon My Take podcast. He said his only regret is not winning the Cowboys a Super Bowl. Pretty dang good story. He iterates that he didn't want to play anywhere else after his time with the Cowboys because it just wouldn't have been the same. The quote, at the end, it was like, I could go somewhere else and do it because I was like, I got to win a Super Bowl. Nothing else matters. And it just was like, but would that be the same if I went somewhere else and did it? Because at that point, I'd known the game at such a high level. My last 20, 25 games were pretty successful when healthy, but I was getting injured more often. Body breaks down in some ways through the years. He says, I think it was as simple as it just wouldn't feel as important. It would be important to me, but it was for the people I was around and all the fans that we had. I thought that was a touching take from Tony, and maybe maybe endeared himself to the fans a little bit more?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you live in a world where LeBron's willing to leave his hometown of Cleveland to go accomplish what he wants to accomplish, which is, hey, no harm, no foul. I get it. Legacies, all that kind of stuff, especially when you're supposed to be the greatest player to ever exist on the planet. But that's just an example of you even have a homegrown guy like LeBron who is willing to leave to go get his title, and for Romo to not want to do that. Yeah, I mean, I do think fans would appreciate that.
The injuries were such a big part of it, you know, and only he knows how fragile he felt. He did get hurt in 2015, and then 2016 preseason, you know, hurt again. It must have felt like, I can't stay healthy. And as you're approaching your mid-30s, but, you know, I think other players, they come back from back-to-back injuries, and they find health. Now, he'd had the collarbone and other stuff early in his career. You know, maybe he wasn't going to be the most durable guy, but I would have loved to seen what that would have been like had it played out just in 2016.
I know.
You know, because Tony was amazing. Like, you go into 2014, and what they actually brought it down to like 29 passing attempts per game, and they were handing it to DeMarco Murray, and then you add Ezekiel Elliott, and instead of Tony's got to pass it 45 times and throw it for 350 yards so we can outscore this team, in 2016, they gave up just 19 points per game. Their offensive line was the best. Their run defense at 82 yards per game allowed was number one in the NFL. Like, they could run it, they could stop the run, and they had Tony Romo in the perfect spot still there with Beasley, Witten, and Dez. I think they would have had a better chance, you know, if hindsight's 20/20, they would have had a better chance than with Dak, wouldn't they?
Yeah, I mean, in my mind, I felt that way in real time. It was a giant argument amongst me and my friends, my brothers. We were getting into screaming matches at Thanksgiving because of it.
That's awesome.
Because I was pro throw Romo back in there. You've never seen a rookie quarterback go win a Super Bowl. If that's really what you want to do right now, then I would put Romo out there. And if he gets broken again, so what? You just trot Dak Prescott back onto the field. So, and then you saw the little glimpse of it in that Philadelphia game at the end of the season.
Oh, did you
ever?
When
the hay was in the barn, it was like, okay, let's let Romo go out there. And it was just like a beautiful drive, matriculate and bang, touchdown.
He was surgical.
He was.
Is what he was. And I don't think he made the right decision. Like, I would have wanted to go play elsewhere. I think the Cowboys made the right decision in the long term. Like, we have a rookie quarterback. We feel like we've seen what Tony Romo can do at the height of his powers, and we want to go with the cheaper player that's going to reset our salary cap. And, you know, did they win 12 games that year?
Yeah, but I think, you know, in working at .com at the time, there were people, like, if you look at how that locker room was, and two of Romo's best friends, Jason Witten and Dez Bryant, they basically turned away from Tony, and they said, hey, this young kid from Mississippi State gives us the best opportunity to maybe win this championship. And I think there was a point in time where even the people who were very, very loyal to Tony knew that there was no going back. Romo left. I remember, this is my personal view. I remember every day looking at the practice field from where I sat there at .com and never one time seeing Tony Romo out there. Not one time. And this is as he's rehabbing, never going out. The guys that were helping were Mark Sanchez, Kellen Moore. Those are the guys that were kind of, you never saw Tony Romo involved in anything that they were trying to do. And I think at that point in time, yeah, he was doing rehab stuff and all that, but not even making any of appearances at all.
Yeah,
and
not being a good teammate.
And then Tony kind of tried to rally everybody and, like, hey, let's come over and you know, come over to my house and hang out and do all that. And guys are like, nah, man, we're good.
It was too late.
His
Dak's team
lost the locker room.
He had totally lost the locker room.
And from the front office and the coaching perspective, you're considering that heavily?
Yeah.
I think you have to.
I think that Romo, from what I understood, he was taking, like, he was coming by Garrett's office and putting, like, sticky notes on his chair, you know, about things and stuff like that. And He kind of said, "Hey, it's a good opportunity for, you know," he kind of made that whole speech. He made that speech, you know, in front of the media at the podium there.
The meritocracy speech.
Yeah. He made that speech and like nobody's like, "No, why are you doing this? Bro, why do you feel necessary to do this?" And yeah. So he had already that train had left the station. Dez was out, Witten was out, the team was out, because Tony had,
part of Dak's leadership ability, yeah, and the qualities, yeah, of him as a human, uh-huh, you know, that he had sold them on following his lead. And we interviewed Jason Witten, I don't know if it was later on that year or at camp, but he said Dak stepped right into that huddle day one. And even as he was, I'm adding some commentary here, but even as Dak was struggling as a practice player, mm-hmm, he had the utmost confidence and command of the huddle,
yeah,
as he's airmailing and can't quite figure out the offense in the first couple of weeks of training camp. And it wasn't until the preseason game started where he proved that he could actually do amazing stuff in any NFL setting. And, the perfect passer ratings, and then obviously the start to that season, I created an incredible amount of momentum. I was always surprised, though, that Tony didn't want the opportunity in Houston or Denver, because as free agency started, I assumed, yeah, he's gonna try to reignite his career. But the TV money came in, Brian.
The TV money was way too good, but also I don't think Tony Romo wanted to go and learn a new offense. Even though that he is an extremely bright guy and all, I don't think he wanted to have to pick up and go do all that again. So I sound like I'm being very, very critical of Tony Romo. I just know, working in that building and talking to people every single day and in my own eyes, observing who was trying to help Dak Prescott and who was trying to help the team. And it wasn't Tony. It was, Tony was nowhere to be found. And I just think that was a big thing. But I think also, too, like you were asking, I just don't think he wanted to go learn another offense or go try and execute another offense.
Yeah, and then just cross your fingers you stay healthy.
Yeah.
And like you mentioned, you have the TV money on the table.
He had like two young kids probably by then.
Yeah.
You know, his sons are young and wanting him around the house. But it was $20 million.
Yeah, $20 million, and he likes to golf.
Yeah. So it made sense for him for a lot of reasons to pivot in that way. Pat Thorman retweeted one of the stories that was recapping this Tony Romo interview on Pardon My Take, and he pointed out that the Cowboys failed him instead of the other way around.
Sure.
During Romo's 9 years, the Cowboys defense ranked higher than the offense in scoring once.
Yeah.
That year they won a playoff game. Their average rank in points allowed was 19th. They didn't start rebuilding their offensive line until halfway through his tenure. And I think similar things could be said about, Dak's supporting cast.
Yes.
As, they're both being asked to carry a team that is team building in a way that, targets the playoffs instead of building the absolute best roster. Like when Jerry first took over the team and they needed to get over the hump, they were like, let's go get Charles Haley. Let's go get Deion Sanders. You know, now they're like, let's get D Winters and Jalen Thompson, and right. There's just such a huge difference. The Rams are what the Cowboys used to be. Oh, Myles Garrett's available. Trent McDuffie's available. Let's get some of the guys who are the best at their position. We got Krusty's Corner coming up next. Brian, where are you taking us?
Yeah, I've got some, got some thoughts as we get ready for training camp. I'll get the opinions of my guys. We'll do that next.
What's up? I'm Draymond Green, and when I'm not hosting the Draymond Green Show, I'm usually working out in the gym and on the court. Anybody can have one good day in the gym, but the key is recovery. That's why athletes are taking Omega XL Sport. Omega XL Sport is a premium recovery supplement powered by green-lipped muscle oil extract with 3 key clean ingredients and backed by over 4 decades of research. It's NSF certified for sport, which is such an amazing distinction. It's free of 290 banned substances, trusted by athletes and recognized by major sports organizations. My body has taken a beating over the years, and recovery becomes more important the longer you stay active. That's why Omega XL Sport caught my attention. Omega XL Sport helps support your body's natural recovery process, helping reduce post-workout muscle soreness, inflammation, and supports mobility so you can stay consistent when it matters most. Less time feeling beat up, more time doing what you love. Omega XL Sport. Extra strength recovery now available at GNC and GNC.com.
When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? Maintain X is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With Maintain X, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try Maintain X for free today. Go to maintainx.com/AI. That's maintain in the letter x.com/AI.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And we have the podcast Office Ladies. Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories and lots of laughs.
Follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Lucius. It's the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. And it is time now for Krusty's Corner with Brian Broaddus. Here he is, the king.
Hey, kids! Your old pal Krusty's gonna teach you 5 new words.
You're not wrong about that.
From Dallas, Texas, number 55, Brian Broaddus.
Thank you very much, Lucius. I appreciate you playing that. And thank you very much to Reliant and then Hurtado Barbecue as well for being a part of this. I don't know if you guys saw the news. I know that I've been catching a lot of flack for this one. And it's about Tyrone Arnold from the formerly the Detroit Tigers. Or Tigers. Detroit Lions.
Took a physical with Houston last week, right?
Actually worked out for him yesterday.
Okay.
Worked out for him yesterday. And they got a ruling here. They got a ruling that he does not have to wear a GPS tracker.
Oh, okay. Very good.
So he does not have to wear, and it was argued for him that the prosecution was trying to get this. The prosecution basically saying, hey, this guy is not an NFL player anymore. You know, there's this, the prosecution saying he, this is a guy that, he's not in a unique position of being an NFL player. And the Hillsborough County State Attorney's Office filed a motion to reconsider the terms of his bond after the Lions cut him. And he's not in a position to be an NFL player. And the lawyers for Arnold argued that wearing a GPS monitor would prohibit him from getting signed by another team. Nicole Lynn, his agent, testified at the hearing that she received inquiries from the Jets. We knew that the Seahawks and the Texans and the Colts within 24 hours after he was released. Lynn told the court that Arnold had a workout with the Texans this week and another workout scheduled with another team next week. So she argued that, that he was at their facility. They paid to fly him in. He did a physical. So it showed how serious these teams are about him. And she testified also it's a very good likelihood that Arnold will get a sign within the next 45 days.
Yeah, I think, okay, so he didn't have a great 2025 season, right? But teams are corner needy enough, and he has a high enough profile to believe. And I guess the judge feels like he's not a flight risk. This is a massively, potentially life-altering situation for him, and it's embarrassing for him.
Sure.
But it's not like you're bringing in a player who's guilty of crimes that are like a flashpoint in the sports social media discussion.
Mm-hmm.
If you had kidnapped a woman and beat the hell out of her, I don't think teams would be lining up to give this guy workouts.
No, not at all.
Right, but you did commit a somewhat violent crime.
Yes, you did.
But it's not like polarizing the fan base right now. It hasn't gone viral. Like, you can't sign guys that do this. I mean, there was a time where fan bases would freak out if you signed a guy who popped for weed.
Right.
It's just a different world now.
Yeah, the Michael Vick thing too with the dog fighting thing.
Dog fighting was huge. Yeah,
the dog fighting thing was a huge, because you know the people were lining up. Well, how can you do this to an animal? That kind of thing. So, I think it's interesting that the fact that he was able to get that in his favor, and that if you know if he had in fact to have the GPS stuff.
Ankle monitor.
I don't think he gets signed.
Hard to cut and cover with that on, huh?
I don't think so. But the fact that this Florida judge ruled that no, we don't have to have it, I think is a step in the right direction, and we very well could see him being signed. And it's a possibility. And I'm sure some people out there probably say, well, he wasn't any good anyway. I would argue the point of being a young guy, and the Cowboys. The Cowboys have had a history of doing this, though. They've had a history of taking guys who they thought were high on their draft board.
Yeah.
Look at the trades they made for Trey Lance. Look at the trade they made for Jonathan Mingo. Both these guys were like high second-round picks, grade of a 1-2-0 on their boards. And all of a sudden, I guarantee you that Arnold was a guy that had a first-round grade for them. So, it just seems that maybe that you're probably going to end up, maybe you're not going to do this, but the team, a couple teams that you're going to play, you know, you're going to play.
They must feel like there's a chance this is going to get pled down and he's not going to be in jail that long.
I think he's found innocent. I would like to believe that teams are doing their due diligence right now. And in a way that they're learning about, well, wait a minute, what's this? What's Florida? What's the Florida court system? What's the prosecution? What are they going to try and do? I say if that GPS thing is on his leg, you could walk away from this. They're worried about this. They're going, you know, the prosecution obviously is, they're trying to revoke bail, and they're like, nah, we're not going to do that either. So, like I say, I just there are teams that. They're teams that have really good defenses and really good personnel that are looking at this guy, and I just don't think.
You think the Cowboys should be involved here?
Because the question's at corner.
Yeah.
I do. I just think because of the uncertainty with the health at corner. And we could all talk about, oh, well, he had a down year in 2025. He hadn't been any good. He was, you know, whatever.
I mean, his 2 years in the NFL have been bad.
Yeah.
They've been bad. Just should have listened to Doug Llewellyn. Don't take the law into your own hands. You take him to court.
Yeah.
And he would have found out those weren't the guys with his stuff.
Yeah.
Getting ready to kidnap the wrong people.
If his 2 years are bad, then I would say that Houston and Seattle are bad evaluators then, right? Would we surmise that?
No. I think that this is just a low-risk move in terms of financially what you're going to bring in.
I'm just curious about teams that are better than you defensively.
Yeah.
Are taking a look at the guy. That's if he's a bad player, he's a bad player. And if he was a bad player, I don't think anybody would be looking at him.
Well, it's what were you projected to do when you were coming into the NFL? And through 2 years, you have been nowhere close to that. But I'm Mike McDonald in Seattle. I'm D'Amico Ryans in Houston. I got a great defense. Maybe I can get a little bit more out of you than what Detroit was able to.
I think that's
a low risk move.
Yeah, that's where if no teams were looking at to me, a lot depends on the quality of the team. The quality of the team. If Houston's interested in bringing him in for a workout, that tells me a little something.
Yeah.
If Seattle, who are the defending Super Bowl champs, or bringing him in, and John will do stuff like that. I just, like I said, I would bet that I could probably get something out of him.
Yeah, and that's what those teams are doing.
And I think Detroit's a good team. I think Detroit's a really good team. You know, they obviously, Detroit's the one with the egg on their face. They drafted the guy.
Yeah.
You know?
All these other teams have nothing to lose.
All these other teams have nothing to lose, but. No GPS, I think, is a big thing for him.
Right? Adam Schefter just tweeted out that Cowboys defensive end Charles Snowden,
yes,
newly acquired,
yes,
from the Raiders, has been suspended for the first three games of the season.
PEDs?
I think he doesn't specify, but I think this goes back to, what was it, 2024 when he had that DUI arrest situation.
Oh, yeah.
So I think that's where this is stemming from, but Schefter did not put in there that was exactly what it's from. But to my knowledge, that's the only hiccup on the resume of Charles Snowden there. So he's eligible to participate in all preseason activities, including games. His suspension will take effect as of the roster reduction to 53 players. So camp, preseason, he's there, but he's going to miss the first three games of the year. Charles Snowden.
One of the toughest DUI stories, I think. Wasn't his car hanging off a retaining wall?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty much asleep.
Mm. We kind of had some bad luck. I guess the Eagles just picked right. It'd be interesting to hear Christian Parker talk about why they chose Quinyon Mitchell over Terry and Arnold in that 2024 draft. They were separated by just two picks.
Sure. That would be when I get done here with Krusty's Corner, I'll try and figure out what exactly was the deal.
DUI arrest in 2024, I think, is the reason why he's being suspended. But again, Schefter didn't specify in his tweet.
Yeah, well, maybe we could get to the bottom of that one here. Okay, did you guys happen to see the NFL.com ranking the divisions?
No,
ranking the divisions. Would you like to just take a guess? There's eight of them. Would you just like to take a guess which they feel like is the best division?
I mean, it's the NFC West.
Dawson, would you like to take a guess?
Is there any other thing I could guess? The NFC North?
NFC North,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, this is NFC North. This is Nick Shook.
He's going with the North over the West?
He's going with the North. He absolutely is going over the North. At this time last season, the biggest question mark was division residing in Chicago, home of the Bears, that flirted with contention in 2024 before completely falling apart. That's no longer the same. Chicago returns as a reigning division champ, and they are super optimistic about what the Bears have done, and also too what's going on with the Packers, Lions, and also the Vikings, Packers, Lions.
Yeah.
So those guys. So they give them the nod. The NFC West would be number two, followed by the
AFC West?
No, let me see what I got here. Boy, this is long. Nick did a lot of work on this thing. He's got the AFC West. I'm sorry, Dawson, you're absolutely right about that. That would be number three. And then number four would be the AFC North.
North, yeah.
Is where they got. Hmm. And then at number five would be the, going down here as I'm...
NFC East? Can we get there?
Not yet. That would be the AFC South.
Okay.
Ouch.
Jags and Texans.
Yeah. AFC South. And then six would be the NFC East.
Okay.
Would be there. And the reason he gives for the NFC East is some might say I'm being too harsh on the division.
I would say.
That includes both of the 2024 NFC finalists and the Super Bowl champ. But things have changed quickly in this league. Derailed by injuries at quarterback and beyond, Washington fell from the NFC heavy to an afterthought. Dan Quinn's defense is the worst. They talk about Jalen Daniels returning. Philadelphia continues to reign as division king, but aren't perfect. A.J. Brown is gone, and Jalen Hurts is learning yet another coordinator. What they say about the Cowboys, this is where the Cowboys enter the conversation. The Cowboys boast the league's second-best offense in 2025, the one that features two 1,000-yard receivers in CeeDee Lamb and George Pickens, and the NFL's third-ranked passer in Dak Prescott. The unit was emblematic of the Super Bowl contenders, but yet the Cowboys finished 7-9-1 because they couldn't stop a nosebleed defensively. Thus, their entire offseason has been dedicated to fixing the defense. He went through all the additions that they've made. He talked about Christian Parker, and for now, that's only a projection when it comes to that. So there, the NFC East is sixth. The AFC East is seventh. And then you would have
NFC South.
And the NFC South would be your eighth division.
Well, thank you, Brian.
Thank you.
Krusty's Corner every afternoon, 3:40 here on The Fan. When we come back, we'll get some football's finest, Chief. Where are you taking it?
Yeah, who do NFL execs, coaches, and scouts think is the best linebacker in the NFL? That and more next year in The Nation.
What's up? I'm Draymond Green, and when I'm not hosting the Draymond Green Show, I'm usually working out in the gym and on the court. Anybody can have one good day in the gym, but the key is recovery. That's why athletes are taking Omega XL Sport. Omega XL Sport is a premium recovery supplement powered by green-lipped mussel oil extract with three key clean ingredients and backed by over four decades of research. It's NSF certified for sport, which is such an amazing distinction. It's free of 290 banned substances trusted by athletes and recognized by major sports organizations. My body has taken a beating over the years, and recovery becomes more important the longer you stay active. That's why Omega XL Sport caught my attention. Omega XL Sport helps support your body's natural recovery process, helping reduce post-workout muscle soreness, inflammation, and supports mobility so you can stay consistent when it matters most. Less time feeling beat up, more time doing what you love. Omega XL Sport. Extra strength recovery now available at GNC and GNC.com.
When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? Maintain X is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With Maintain X, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try MaintainX for free today. Go to MaintainX.com/AI. That's Maintain and the letter X.com/AI.
Hey, this is Richard Deitch, the host of the Sports Media Podcast. If you're interested in what's happening with all the places where you consume sports, the Sports Media Podcast has you covered.
I've been turning down interviews all week. Hoda Kotb reached out, Oprah, George Stephanopoulos. So I said no. I was booked on the Deitch podcast before the Taylor Swift phenomenon. I must live up to my responsibility.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.